Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
The NBA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network, presented by WynnBET. WynnBET is now live in Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Louisiana, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Tennessee, and Virginia. From boosted same game parlays to live in-game odds, WynnBET has what you need to win. Sign up today. Bet $100, get $100 at sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WynnBET. At sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WYNNBET. State restrictions apply. Yes, sir. We are back with another edition of the NBA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. No me, no the voice, no the guy. It's me, Really Real, Villain Real, Terrell Furman Jr. at your service. It's a Friday in the association. Got my guy Scott Studio Rush Show with me. Scott, what's going on?
Nah, nothing much. Bit of a quiet Friday. I know you're used to seeing a bunch of games. We have, yeah, I believe, five. So, you know, still a lot of money to be made. So, you know, we don't really discriminate between five-game slates, 10-game slates, 15-game slates. You know, we're going to cover the entire show, the entire slate just on the show. But either way, I know that yesterday, Munaf and I did pretty well. Ended up losing the lock, though. I had two player props. I had Zubac double-double as my lock, which didn't get there because of foul trouble. I ended up winning the dog, though, with Garland over 1.5 steals at plus 140, which was never in doubt. I should have given out a side because I ended up sweeping the board on the sides. Got every game right from the side. So I went 6-for-6 there, which was nice. Totals were kind of hit or miss. But either way, anytime you sweep an NBA game on the sides, you had a pretty good day. And hopefully that carries over into Friday. How was your Thursday?
Yeah, Thursday was college basketball was great. Swept the board in college basketball. I was on a bunch of, you know, little schools, guys coming off losses, home losses, away losses, being home favorites. So that was a system match for me. Sac State got there. Tarleton got there on the money line. Who else got there? Wright State got there. Like, it's just a number of places. So college basketball was great, but oh, man. Sometimes intel is just too good. Sometimes a spot is just too good, like way too good, that it just doesn't happen. Because Phoenix was 7-3 ATS in the first half, their last 10 games. Dallas was 1-9. So on that alone, I was like, oh, I'm good. I'm golden. That looks like a pretty good spot. Phoenix is at home too. Like, this is, you know, great spot. Luka goes down the first 3 minutes. I'm like, dang, that sucks. I mean, not for my bet, but that sucks. No, it did suck for my bet. It was terrible. The Mavs played amazing after that.
Dimwitty with 36-6-9. He was really, really good. Finney Smith had 18-12. He was good as well. I feel like the real story, because it's a lot easier, you know, to roast people, or it's more fun that way. Ayton had himself one of the least impressive 19-20 games I've ever seen.
Yeah, he missed every single hook shot that he shot last night.
Oh, he was horrible.
Every single hook shot.
You look at the stats and go, 19-20, not too bad. And then you realize he went 6-for-20, and pretty much every shot he took was inside 5 feet.
Yes, no, he was like straight up bricking. There were sometimes he stepped out from three and shot an ugly shot from three and made, like, every time I watched him offensively in that game, I just sat there and thought, man, DeAndre Ayton is really not him. Like, he's really not him. He's just a guy, but he's definitely not him.
Yeah, he's definitely not. And I thought he looked incredibly soft throughout the entire game. He was shying away from contact. He was afraid to really go up for rebounds late in the game. If you rewatch the missed free throw there by, I'm trying to remember who missed the free throw. The one that Powell got the offensive rebound on with like less than 10 seconds left. I forgot who missed the free throw. Was it Bullock who missed the second free throw? I'm trying to remember who missed. But the point is that Dallas had two free throws to, I don't want to say ice the game, but to mostly ice the game. And they went 1-1. They went 1-1, except for the fact that the ball was loose and Ayton kind of alligator armed it, and it ended up kind of bouncing off his hands, and Powell got the rebound, and it was Bullock, actually. And then you ended up seeing Ayton commit the foul afterwards, but Powell made both free throws. The game was over. But in the biggest moment, when your 20-rebound guy is going for a rebound and he alligator arms it, it kind of tells you all you need to know about Ayton. He's a relatively soft player, and that's been an issue that a lot of people have had with him for years. But it's one of those games where the box score doesn't tell the story. I thought Ayton was horrible. I think most people thought Ayton was horrible last night.
No way. You think he had a good game. There's no way you watched that game. You think he had a great matchup, and that's why his numbers were so good. 20 rebounds, that's really good. But when you see literally nobody going for rebounds, and he's just the only person standing there with the ball in his hand, like, you're less impressed at that. But it's just more of the fact of offensively, he looked absolutely terrible. Like, he looked atrocious offensively. He should have had a 40-point game. Like, he definitely should have had a 40-point game. Yeah, some of the shots were easy. Like, it wasn't even like somebody was in his face contesting him all the time. He had the size, he had the leverage, he had the shot. He just couldn't get the ball in the basket.
Yeah, I really have nothing more to add from that game. It was a pretty ugly basketball game, which isn't too surprising. But Chris Paul was good. He had 22 and 10. Chris Paul gave you 22. I feel like you should probably win that game in 2023. Yeah. But either way, Dinwiddie was great. He carried the team after Luka got hurt. And that's kind of the story. But I feel like since you brought up the nationally televised game, we should talk about the earlier nationally televised game, which was the overtime game between the Knicks and the Celtics. Was a hell of a game. You saw that the Knicks once again blow a lead with Thibodeau in the final couple minutes, but they didn't rally to win the game in overtime, mostly because of just Tatum and everybody bricking every shot in overtime. I believe Tatum was 0-for-6 in overtime. Brogdon missed a wide open three at some point there. Jaylen Brown bricked the two free throws, which could have tied the game or even given them the lead. What really jumped out to you for the Knicks game? Because there were a lot of bad, which we saw, which we've seen several times before involving the Knicks blowing leads late, but they rallied and they won the game. So that's really the most important part. So what was your main takeaway from that game?
That the Boston Celtics are beatable. Let the Boston Celtics are beatable. And there's a lot of people, and you'll see them on social media, you'll see them listening to whatever podcast you listen to, that are going to sit here and say that they do not see anybody that is able to beat Boston in a 7-game series. No, I actually see a lot of teams that I think have a chance against Boston in a 7-game series. Now, do I think Boston is beating majority of those teams? Yes. Do I think that they're a layup to just walk back into the finals? No, absolutely not. Been trying to tell people, stop letting Steph Curry and LeBron get y'all twisted. Like, stop letting the Warriors and LeBron get y'all twisted. Everybody can't go back to back to back in the finals. Like, everybody can't keep going and making finals appearances. That's just not how the NBA works. There are certain players, certain teams that can do that. That's not how the NBA works. You just don't go back to back to back all these years.
Yeah, definitely true. The Celtics are a team that I have some stake in, not to win the title, but I did bet on Mazzulla to win Coach of the Year several months ago, and he's the favorite. Guy's not a good coach. I'm just going to go on record and say it. Like, I know that it's a lot of narrative-based.
I mean, I said it. I said that he's going to get it because he has a great team.
I'm not even sure if he's going to get it, but every coach that's around him also slumping. Mike Brown was the recent name of the week, and his team got destroyed by Toronto. You had, I'm trying to remember who else was an option there. You had Memphis' coach.
Freaking Hardy. Hardy in Utah was there for a little bit. But
he was there for a bit.
You see where Utah going
down. Bickerstaff was there for a bit. Cleveland struggled. I'm drawing a blank on what the hell the coach's name is for the Grizzlies. I'm drawing a blank.
Taylor.
Thank you.
Yeah. It's not Chris Taylor. It's something else, but it's Taylor.
No, but the point is that his name was mentioned for a bit there. Then they lost about four in a row. So it seems like it was Taylor Jenkins. So
yep, I knew it was Taylor something. There we go.
I was going to say Jaeger, but he was the one who got fired a couple
years Chris ago. Finch. That's who he's playing against. That's what I was thinking of. Chris Finch is who he's playing against today. We'll talk about that game a little later.
Point is that there's really no coach that's run away with it. So I kind of just assumed with the narrative of – well, you know, they fired their coach and then he filled in on short notice. You know, you figured the narrative's there. Boston's going to win 60-something games. It's good enough to win the award. But if you watch Boston late in game, they're horrible. late in games. They're really, really bad. And they just refuse to call timeouts before the final possession on a game-in, game-out basis. They got a good look with Tatum. He missed the mid-range jumper. Grimes wanted no part of him in the final drive, but the final possession there. But Tatum bricked it anyway. But I just see Boston being a team that constantly falls apart late in games, and I feel like that's why they're definitely to be had.
I mean, didn't we say that last year?
We did, but they overcame it anyway.
Yeah, they didn't even overcome it last year. They were constantly doing that, even when they had that tremendous run at the end of the season. They were still constantly giving up, you know, covers and all that stuff late in games.
And it's why they lost the NBA Finals, because the legacy game for Curry, when he went off in Boston to win that game, Boston led in the fourth quarter, and they still punted the game because they couldn't generate any easy scores late in the fourth. And, you know, Thibodeau outdid him to end regulation, but you saw in overtime a lot of really ugly possessions for the Celtics, and that's why they lost the game. Plus, I'll give a shout-out, even though he was horrible for most of the game, I'll give a shout-out to R.J. Barrett. He was really bad, but he made the three-pointer when he needed to in overtime, and that was the go-ahead winner. And then he also made both free throws after Brown bricked both. So I'm not a Barrett guy, but shout-out to him because he made the big shots when you needed to or when they needed him to. But my main takeaway, I don't think Mazzulla's a great coach. He's favored to win Coach of the Year because there's really not any other guys who should be favored over him right now. I'm just saying I wouldn't vote for him right now, but I hope he wins because I have money on him to win Coach of the Year. Do you have anything else you want to add? Because I don't think he's a great coach.
No, I mean, I told you, I think that I could go give my 10-year-old sister this team and she could coach them to 30 wins. Like, this team is just good. Like, that's really just it. I don't think that it's anything that's going to propel them in the playoffs. I don't think they have a coaching edge of any matter. I don't think they have a coaching disadvantage of any matter. I just think that this team literally does it themselves. Like, they are that good.
Yeah, in terms of talent, that is true. The only concerns that are, I'd say, differing from last year to this year with the overall talent, is Al Horford cooked?
Yes, we knew this. Yes.
I know, but I'm saying last year, would you argue he wasn't? Because his offense wasn't great last year.
No, I think he was just a veteran player. I did say Al Horford was cooked, but he's
playing so many minutes and he gives them nothing offensively. I feel like that's going to be a serious problem in the
veteran, just veteranship, the ability to defend without fouling, and that, you know, that time in the league, like, that's really all it is. But he's not your rebounder. That's what Robert Williams is for. He's not your main defender. He's a solid defender. He's not your main defender. He's just really a veteran guy on that squad that they really like. And for some reason, they only win games with him in lineup. So he's like the Gordon Hayward of Charlotte.
I was trying to think of a good comparison for him, and I was trying to think of his overall role. I can't call him Ben Simmons. But he's kind of like this squad's P.J. Tucker. You know, he's going to stand in the corner the entire game.
He'll take the best matchup. He'll take the best matchup defensively if he needs to.
It's mostly just him standing in the corner the entire time offensively and yet being the glue guy for the team. So that's kind of my comparison. Al Horford turned into P.J. Tucker. That's kind of what his role is on this team, which you probably want more of an offensive role. But he can't play a bigger offensive role because I think that he's just totally cooked physically. So that's kind of how I look at the Celtics, but good win for the Knicks. I know on VSiN I gave out the Knicks +8 because the Knicks have given the Celtics problems for years, and I thought that spread was way too high, and the Knicks came through. You have any other takeaways from yesterday's action, or that was kind of it?
No, from the action, we'll just go ahead and touch on All-Star real quick. All-Star voting results have came back, and you do know the starters on both sides for the Western Conference. LeBron James is going to be the team captain, of course. Number one in the fan rank, number two in the player rank, and media rank. Jokic got media number one. Of course, he got the media number one. And player number one. And you have Jokic, LeBron, and Zion Williamson. Zion, fourth in fan voting, fourth in media voting, third in player voting. He is going to be an all-star starter this year. In the backcourt, you have Steph Curry, Luka Doncic. No questions there. However, Ja and SGA were unanimous third and fourth, respectively. All three voting entities picked them third and fourth, respectively. I don't think I've seen somebody be unanimous like that
I just want to ask you, based on going through the starters.
Hold up, real quick. Let me go through the East first. All right, Eastern Conference, you have Giannis as the team captain, number one in the player rank, number one in the fan rank, number two in the media rank. Kevin Durant, number two, second in fan rank, second in player rank, fourth in media rank. That's also not surprising. The media just hates on Kevin Durant for no reason, I think. Jason Tatum, number one in the media rank. He is rounds out that front court. And then you have Kyrie Irving and Donovan Mitchell as the sec. First of all, just go ahead and get your Donovan Mitchell all-star MVP bets in now. Like, just get that in now, 100%. Donovan Mitchell, second in player voting, second in fan voting, number one in the media. Kyrie, number four in the media as well. Again, media, Brooklyn, don't mix. All right, Scott, thoughts on Eastern Conference, Western Conference, or the question you were going to ask, whatever it was.
My question was, how deep do you want to go on this? Because it doesn't exactly lead to anything immediate. We're going to end up talking about the All-Star game in a couple of weeks anyway. But how deep do you want to go? Because I have some questions about some of the
stars. I definitely use this in my handicap today, 100%. 100% use this in my hand
just for
today.
A chip on the shoulder of some guys that might.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's some. I mean, there are quote unquote snubs. There are quote unquote snubs on this list. Joel Embiid is not a starter.
Yeah. Again,
that I mean, but it's crazy because I can't be too mad that he's not a starter.
Because well, he probably will start because Durant can't play.
Yeah. I mean, for the most part, but still, like, that's like. Besides the point, he wasn't outright voted, and for very good reason, because you have Giannis, you have Kevin Durant, you have Jason Tatum. I mean, if you get snubbed, and I do think that, you know, he deserves to be a starter, but it's like between what Giannis, Kevin Durant, Jason Tatum, Kyrie Irving, Donovan Mitchell, who are you taking out? Who are you taking out?
Well, like, it's also an issue with how the thing is designed, because you have a designated backcourt. And you have a front court.
No, but still, that's what I'm saying. Even if it's positionless, because people said make it positionless. Okay, if it's positionless, who are you taking out? Like, I can sit here, and if you put any version of those
six. If it's
six,
positionless, you're taking out Kyrie or Donovan Mitchell for Embiid.
I don't think that's a foregone conclusion.
Let's be real. If you had to take one guy out.
No, I don't think that's a foregone. I don't think that's a foregone conclusion at all. I think. If I looked at this list of six names between Giannis, Durant, Tatum, Embiid, Kyrie, Donovan Mitchell, and you put any order of those six in and one person out, I'd be like, all right. Like, somebody's
got to
be out.
For the record, I was shocked Kyrie was a starter. I'm not complaining about it. As a Nets fan, he's been incredible, but I figured with all the controversy surrounding him and all the stuff.
That's why the media has him fourth. The only people that care about that is the media. The fans don't care and the players don't care because both of them ranked him first.
That's why I was a bit shocked that he was the starter. I think he's been incredible this year, but I was a bit surprised to see Kyrie's name in the starting lineup. But Embiid is extremely unlucky for accolades. He would have won MVP about 80% of the time, and Jokic happened. So, you know, sucks for Embiid, and now he's not starting. It's not going to matter because he will be starting at the end because KD can't play. But it's still definitely going to, I'd say, be annoying to him emotionally, and we'll see how he handles it. But I do want to ask you about the Western Conference because there's two, I'd say, discussions to be had.
Well, real quick, quick note on the Eastern Conference before we move on. We've been saying this for years. Players hate Trae Young. Players hate Trae Young. They do not like Trae Young's game at all.
Well, I don't think he should be a starter or anything like that.
No, but I'm saying, you can see how low he got ranked. 12 by the players. That's all I just needed this confirmation so everybody can see that the players actually really do hate Trae Young. Like, they do not like him as a player. 12 is insane. Like, they don't
I can't even argue with it, though, because I don't even think Trae Young's been that good this year. And I know it sounds crazy because he's averaging north of 27 points, and he's averaging roughly 10 assists per game.
But it's how he gets those points that the players don't like. Like, it's the cheap fouls, all this other stuff.
He's
like,
a massive high-volume
guy. They
hate
his game.
He's shooting 31.8% from three. He's been horrible in terms of efficiency, and he's averaging over four turnovers a game. I think Trae Young has not been particularly good this year, despite averaging roughly 27 and 10. At no point looking at the actual votes that I think to myself, Why is Trae Young not in the top five, top 10? At no point did that pop
up. Oh, no, I definitely didn't think of it, but I was just looking at the votes, and you see, it's so, like, you can see it clear as day. The fan voting, fifth. Media rank, sixth. Player rank, 12th. It's like, oh, wow.
The players at 12th mean they really don't like that
they
guy.
Really don't like him. Like, they really don't like him. It's people that are not even on his rank, on his list that they have ranked higher than Trae Young. They really don't like him. Shout out to Jalen Brunson. Not getting any love from the fans, but 8th in player rank and 9th in media rank.
Shout out to him. He's definitely been great. But I do want to ask you.
Over to the West, like you said.
Yeah. I don't want to spend that much time on it because we do have some games to go through. But the main two question marks in people's minds. First of all, Zion is a starter. Over Sabonis.
Yeah.
That's the first one.
Yeah, I think that's clear. I think that was pretty clear.
Because Zion, when healthy, was great. The question is, with the games that he's missed, should he be starting over Sabonis? Because the Kings are, what, third in the West? Fourth in the West?
I mean, Steph's missed a bunch of games. KD's missed a bunch of games. I don't see any different holding him to a different standard.
Well, Steph was the second one I was going to bring up. Or I was going to start off with Zion versus Sabonis. That was a main question mark. The second is Curry starting over either Ja or SGA.
I had both of them over Curry.
Just because I wanted SGA to get it.
I did. I really did. I think he deserves it. I think he completely deserves it. He is the catalyst of them actually being in somewhat playoff discussion. Like, 100%.
I thought it would be Morant because people care more about Morant with the highlights and stuff. And truth be told, no matter how fun Oklahoma City is, their modern NBA fan doesn't give a damn what the hell OKC is doing.
Yeah, no, I think Ja is just because he hasn't gotten over the mountaintop yet. And we'll talk about this a little later, but they just haven't gotten over the hump. Like, they haven't gotten over the hump.
Too,
so. Yeah, so. But SGA, I felt like I knew it was Steph and Luka. There was no way you're getting behind it. But SGA, I was like, oh, man. And I mean, even the rankings, like, Ja's my guy, but SGA's had a better season thus far. Like,
voting for my starters, I would have had SGA and I would have had Sabonis on there. And I love Zion. I think Zion's, if healthy, he's a top 10 player in the league. He's unstoppable. But with the games he's missed and the fact that he hasn't played in a month, I would have had Sabonis on there, personally.
I don't think I would have had Sabonis. I agree with SGA. I don't think I would have had Sabonis.
Once again, it might not matter because if Zion is not able to play in the All-Star game and he might not be able to play.
You think they give it to Sabonis? I don't think they're going to give it to Sabonis. I think they're going to give it to Lowry.
That's a good point. I didn't even mention
Lowry. I think they're going to give it to Lowry. I really do. I would give it to Lowry if you had a new – or maybe you do give it to Sabonis and then that moves Lowry in on the team and he just comes off the bench and Sabonis starts. But if I was the NBA with this being in Utah, it's no doubt in my mind. If Zion can't go, I'm giving it to Lowry.
Okay. I mean, that's a fair point. Lowry was
another
guy.
It's not like you're just giving it because of the hometown edge. Like, he actually deserves it. He deserves an all-star start because of what he's doing this year. He really does.
Now, once again, the point is that Markkanen or Sabonis might start anyway because I'm not sure Zion's going to be healthy for this all-star game. So
I'm telling you, I'm having MVP votes. If Lowry moves into a starter, I'm having an MVP vote on Lowry and I'm having an MVP vote on Donovan Mitchell. I'm going to have tickets on both of them.
The point is, they're worth bringing up. Embiid not being a starter, I wasn't shocked with because despite being incredible last year and being an MVP finalist, he was an all-NBA second team guy. He's been so unlucky with the accolades.
No, so the second team so only unlucky. Happened because it's position and it because he's a center. Like, he's the purest form of center. And who is the center going to? Is going to Jokic.
Well, technically, you could have had forwards, so you could have had Embiid and Jokic in the same first team, but then you're telling Giannis to take a hike, and that's not happening. So that's why it was a little bit tricky last year. But it's kind of similar with the All-Star game this year, where you don't have centers anymore, but you have forwards and guards. So you're still having a logjam there in the front court, and Embiid was the odd man out again.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not. Like, I think what I thought was going to happen is I thought they were just going to say, all right, KD, you missed too much time. And KD's not going to give a fuck because, like, why does KD give a fuck? But I thought they'd be like, KD, you missed too much time. And, you know, we're throwing Joel in there. But Hey, I'm not tripping.
Every time Joel something that's like kind of sketchy with voting comes out with Joel Embiid, I'm just expecting him to post the Generation X video. Just like every time something happens now, you know, after what happened with Durant, yeah, pretty much. I'm just expecting that to be an Embiid thing where he just responds to anything that goes against him with just the Generation X. You think you can tell us what to do? Just that kind of video.
But
I did it with Durant.
I think they play Saturday.
Yeah,
I wish they played tonight. I really wish, like,
I'm betting an Embiid 40 piece.
He's giving them buckets. Who they play Saturday? They play the Nuggets. Oh,
playing the Nuggets is very hype.
Oh my gosh! Oh, they play the Nuggets tomorrow.
You know, Embiid's going to try to go for 40 on you.
He might get 50. Oh my god, bet Embiid. Wow, NBA, bravo. Bravo for a 3 o'clock standalone game on a Saturday. Bravo. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh, he's giving them 50. He's giving them 50.
Oh, franchise, we don't care if they win or not. We don't care who wins. We don't give a damn.
We really don't care who wins. Oh my gosh.
And Embiid's going to be in one for a massive game. And you know Jokic can't guard him. So,
oh my gosh, he's going for 50. He's going for 50.
But point is, the main takeaways that I had for the All-Star game voting was Curry getting in over SGA or Ja, and it was Zion being a starter over Sabonis or Markkanen. Those are the main two that I had question marks on. I don't know I don't really care, but the players might. And so it's worth keeping in mind for potential extra motivation.
I hope Zion doesn't play so Lauri can get in. I think Lauri really deserves it. That was such a fun surprise. All right, before we get into actual handicapping this slate, what people are here for, I got to talk to you about our presenting sponsor, the official online sportsbook of Sports Gambling Podcast Network, and that is WynnaBet, because they are active in a bunch of states. They have live betting. They have same game parlays in the Wynn Build Your Own Bet system. NFL playoffs are here, so you can go build your own bet for that game. Build your own bet with the freaking Patrick Mahomes going crazy, going back to the Super Bowl. Great promos, odds, and payouts. Everything here at WynnBet. Sign up today, receive a special offer, bet $100, get $100, limited to state availability. And you can hit the biggest parlay of the week, and you can get $1,000 free credit. I'm telling you, with that parlay, I'm going to have Joel Embiid 50-piece in there, so if you think that you're going to hit the longest parlay, you might be wild, because Joel and his 50-piece will be in that parlay. All right. So much to choose from. All you have to do is head over to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WynnBet. That is sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WYNNBET. All subject change terms and conditions at WynnBet.com. Must be 20 or older, present in the state where playthrough WynnBet is available. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. Somebody said, how about them Bulls?
I gave out Charlotte yesterday. I hated the spot, but I knew I couldn't handle taking Charlotte. And Munaf liked the first half. That got them.
Yeah, we cashed the first half. We cashed the first half very easily, and then they blew it in the second half. Very, very Bulls-like behavior. I mean, it's the Bulls versus a sub-500 team. It was an auto play.
Who do you think they're trading, by the way? LaVine? Vucevic? Both? I don't think they're trading DeRozan.
I would trade Vucevic. I don't think this team needs him to space the floor. I don't think they need him to space the floor.
If you're asking me who I think will be traded first, I think it's LaVine. Based on how the last couple of weeks have transpired and how the fourth quarter issues that he's had. It could be a mistake. I'm just saying, if I had to speculate who gets traded first, I think it's going to be LaVine.
Honestly, just trade both of them and start over. They should trade both.
I just think it's going to be LaVine who gets traded first, if I had to guess.
All right. We are here on the Friday slate, finally. First game up is the Milwaukee Bucks going to play the Indiana Pacers. Bucks are laying 8.5 here. If I can ever get my screen to actually change back. There we go. Bucks are laying 8.5. 239.5 is the total injury report for these two teams. And For the Milwaukee Bucks, we have Giannis is probable. Beauchamp is questionable. AJ Green is questionable. Everybody else looks like they're a go. You should see Chris Middleton still coming off the bench for right now. No change in that. For the Pacers, oh boy. Miles Turner is questionable. Andrew Nembhard is questionable. Aaron Nesmith is questionable. Trevon Queen is questionable. Then you know Tyrese Halliburton is still on IR. Duarte is probably going to get a start again in this game. Let's see here. And TJ McConnell's running things in the point guard position.
Most importantly, you said it before, but you know Giannis is probably going to play.
Yeah, CJ McConnell hasn't gotten his assist prop. Just want to throw that out there because he had that triple double coming in relief. I believe I'm pretty sure it was a triple double. It was like a really crazy game.
I think he was one away.
Yeah, no, he got it. 18, 12, and 10. Yeah, so in relief of Nembhard in Phoenix, he did get a triple double. 18, 12, and 10. Came back with 20 and 10. He didn't cash that assist prop, by the way, because the assist prop was 11.5 for that game. I know because I bet it. And he didn't cash the assist prop last game. It was at 10.5. I know because I bet it. And he finished with 8. Luckily, the second time I bet the under because I got kind of pissed off the first time. Yeah. That was very emotional betting by me. Yeah, Pacers suck in the first quarter. Mm. But they're always in it at the end of the game.
Giannis is going to score at least 12 in the first quarter, maybe more. He's going to kill them in the first quarter.
Yeah, and whether it's rebounding or something, they're probably going to get slammed in the first quarter. It's just what adjustments do they make? And honestly, it just takes time for that offense to get going because now you got to wait for their best offensive player to come off the bench. Mm-hmm.
I can't believe Mathurin isn't starting yet, but whatever.
No, he was starting for a few games. It just didn't work out for him. Like his production actually went. I think it went down when he was starting.
It was the efficiency. He really just had a hard time hitting a three when he became a starter, and now he's kind of gotten back into rhythm. Back on the bench.
I think.
But
honestly, I tweeted this and I was like, I don't think any other six man has had a bigger contribution to their team than Ben Mathurin. Honestly, like if I
wouldn't vote for Westbrook for sixth man. And I know that the argument is, you know, the counting stats are good. Westbrook, if you watch him play, is really bad, but nobody cares. Like everyone's trying to convince themselves that he's good. Westbrook isn't good. Just because he has a high usage guy off the bench and puts up numbers doesn't mean he's actually like a good basketball player. I don't think that Westbrook is good at all because you can't use him late in games. Like Westbrook is horrible late in games. You can't use him. You want him nowhere near the floor with the game on the line, but he's minus 150 to win sixth man. I don't really get
what's
it.
What's Mathurin's eye? Like 6-1?
I think so. I'm pretty sure Brogdon might be ahead of him slightly, but I don't know. Westbrook's favorite to win the award. I under no circumstance would I vote for Westbrook to win Sixth Man of the Year. I don't think he's been good at all. But, you know, that's the difference between people that kind of watch it and look for the stuff that's not seen on the box score compared to the people that look for counting stats. And Westbrook's a counting stats guy that I don't think is efficient at all, and I wouldn't want him on my team, if I'm being honest. But is that harsh, or do you agree with me on that?
Is this 26-1 legit?
It might be. Mathurin.
But Norman Powell above him, Tyrese Maxey above. Okay, Maxey is 10-1. I like Maxey and Mathurin way more than Brogdon. I mean, well, yeah, definitely more than Brogdon, but way more than Westbrook.
Yeah, I agree with you. And Maxey, I think, is going to be in the serious running because of how good he's been off the bench. So,
and the fact he's gonna make that ground up by
most
the end
importantly,
of the year.
His team's good.
Yeah, Matt, I would put bets on Maxey and Mathurin. I forgot about Maxey and how he is playing now, but by the end of the year, he's going to be in conversation for sure.
All right. Good.
I'm sorry.
I'm going with Milwaukee in this game. For me, it seems like a perfect storm where everyone was kind of annoyed at how Jokic didn't play against Milwaukee and how they ended up winning the game anyway. And now Giannis has a matchup against Indiana where he's going to play, and you know Indiana can't stop him. I think Giannis goes off in this game. I think that he has a shot to go for 40, but I know Indiana can't guard him, and I know that without Haliburton, this team is just bad in general. Give me Milwaukee. I think they bury this team. I think they win this game by 10+. And we both think Milwaukee jumps them early. The question is, can Indiana get back on track and make this a game? I don't think they can. I think Milwaukee buries them.
Let's see here. Giannis actually has some duds against Milwaukee recently. Granted, a lot of these games, he's not playing a bunch of minutes. And he very well could not be playing a bunch of minutes tonight. But he really has some.
Wait, who?
Wait, is Giannis?
He was injured. He was injured, and then he took some time off.
No, wait. Now this is getting a little absurd.
He had 9 points against Charlotte. Like, he was really bad for a couple
wait,
games.
Wait. But no, but I get off. What you're saying, but 12 minutes, 5 points, 24 minutes, 8 points, 21 minutes, 5 points, 21 minutes, 2 points, 17 minutes, 11 points, 33 minutes, 6 points, 35 minutes, 12 points, 43 minutes, 16 points, 29 minutes, 9. Like, this is going back pretty far. Oh, wait, this is all old Giannis. Where's the new Giannis? Oh, okay. That's why. Why would it have it flip? It never flips the stats. All right. It never flips the stats to like the newest game, the oldest games at top. It's always newest games. So now I have to go back. Okay. Now this makes more sense. 50, 26, 30, 40, 21, 29, 18, 26, 29, 33.
First two games back one, two, in general.
Three, four, five, six, seven.
His first two games nine, back since the 5-game absence had 33 and 14, 29 and 12. He seems to be back to normal. So
I would play Giannis triple double tonight.
Well, he's going to get a bunch of rebounding chances because Portis is out indefinitely. So there's even more room for Giannis to just dominate on the glass.
Yeah, and I think that, like, when – with the rotation and how the rotation's going, it's a lot of times that it'll be Giannis and Drew. They'll have Giannis and Drew and Chris on the court for a little bit, but then Drew comes out, Chris comes in, and it's Giannis and Chris. So, like, it's a lot of opportunity for Giannis to be handling the ball, having to dip it off to his two great teammates, to everybody else, especially get some easy buckets with Brook Lopez on the inside. I like Giannis triple-double tonight. I still haven't made my mind up about the spread. I guess I'll go ahead and go Bucks minus 8.5, but I don't like giving the Pacers that many points at home against anybody.
I think our favorite spread's probably Bucks first quarter. Right.
Yeah, for sure. Bucks first quarter is minus 3. You don't even have to do the minus 3. You can get, I think I got a money line for a parlay earlier at like minus 180. Like,
this game just screams, assuming it's somewhat close, 35 and 15 for Giannis. Like, it just screams massive stat line.
Yeah.
Especially with Portis being out. That's a lot of rebounds up for
grabs. I would play his rebounds over his points just because he can get those rebounds in the first half, but he can have like 25 points at halftime. They'd be blowing them out, and then he'd just be like, all right. Like, so I would play the rebounds over points, or I'd play some combination of points and rebounds, but I'm kind of scared off Giannis, just regular points prop, assuming he's at, what, 31.5?
Yeah, 31.5, 30.5. I think he's just going to go off tonight.
All right, total sitting at 239.5.
239 is kind of a bit wild, but it comes down to if you think Indiana can do enough offensively, because I'm assuming Milwaukee's going to score 120. I feel like I'm leaning under in this game.
Why do I feel like – I feel myself leaning closer to Indiana. I don't know. I just hate giving Indiana this many points.
I don't know how much their home stats matter because most of them are with Haliburton playing. So they've just been a different team with him.
Yeah, but it's more like – but the only difference I really see in Haliburton being there and not being there is do they close the game out well. Like, when they get to that fourth quarter, do they close it out and get a win, which they've been unable to do, but they've been able to keep – some of these games close without him.
I don't put any stock into the first meeting, by the way. Milwaukee won that game by 13. game landed 251. Giannis didn't play, and Portis did. So you can potentially toss it out. Maybe the game's slightly different there. Haliburton did miss that game, though. But
the Pacers were up like 20.
They got outscored 39-21 in the fourth quarter.
Give me the story of the game. Points. So. I'll take the Pacers and the points. I will take the over as well.
But you're on the over. Okay, I'm going to lean to the under, but I don't feel great about it.
Yeah.
I'm hoping that with Giannis back in the lineup defensively, Milwaukee's going to look sharper.
Yeah. That's really my concern. Milwaukee's giving up a lot of points.
Yeah.
For the most part. All right. Yeah, I made my mind up there. I'm going Indiana. Okay. Next game on the slate, we have the Memphis Grizzlies going to play the Minnesota Timberwolves. Memphis is laying 3 on the road. 238.5 is the total injury report here for these two teams. And we have for the Grizzlies, Desmond Bane is questionable. John Conchar is out with that concussion. Steven Adams, IR. And for Minnesota, Rudy Gobert is questionable. Torian Prince is out. Everything else pretty clean. I know where I'm going with this, but I'm curious to hear what you're doing and to see
this
if we're on the same side.
Minnesota, but I hate Minnesota. You know, like this line is so short, and Gobert might play, might not play. Bane is, you know, still one of the best players that Memphis has, and Adams being out really kills them on the glass.
Mm-hmm.
Memphis has struggled lately. They've been in some close games. The Warriors game, you could argue they should have won, but it was definitely a close game that could have gone either way. The markets want you to take Memphis because this line is so short and it looks so trappy. But I hate Minnesota so much. I think I'm going to lean Memphis. I don't feel great about it at all, but I'm going to lean Memphis. You?
Minnesota's the play.
Yeah, Minnesota's definitely
Minnesota is the play.
The line, but
Minnesota
is
the play.
I can't do it.
We'll take Minnesota in the points. Minnesota's the play. So... I've been ready to come back on here and talk about this, especially after my picture-perfect handicap of Memphis and Golden State, where Memphis plus 3 cash by 1 point and the total of 245 cash by 1 point as well. Picture-perfect handicap there. The thing about Memphis and the thing about a lot of teams, when they make this leap into becoming a great team, you come from a good team to a great team, is realizing that you are no longer the hunter. Like, there is no more of you being the hunter. Memphis, for a very long time, in their conception, have been the hunter. They've been chasing Spurs, most notably. They've been chasing the Lakers, been chasing the Nuggets in years past.
Warriors, obviously.
Now it's the Warriors. Now Warriors. Yep, chasing the Warriors. They don't know what it's like for people to see Memphis on that calendar and circle that game and say, we're not losing that game. And I think that's where this stretch of bad games is coming from for Memphis, because they're now realizing that this isn't like last year where people, they're like, oh, Memphis is straight at the end of the year.
They're being slept on.
Yeah, they're being slept on.
And Ja got
injured. Now everybody knows.
Yeah, Ja got injured too. People were kind of ignoring Memphis, and they won a bunch of games without Ja anyway.
And they kept winning a bunch of games without Ja. So now you look, and they didn't have Ja, missing some guys in that lineup, and got ran out the gym by 30 against Sacramento. Mm-hmm. Lost to a B team in the Suns. Lost to the Lakers, where you had a lead. You blew it late. Like, they are realizing what it takes to beat a hunter. Even Cleveland came into their building and gave them a game before they even started this road trip. They're realizing what it's like to be hunted. And I think that it's going to take a few L's. Like, it's taking a few L's for them to wake up. And I think this is that last spot, last road game before you go back home. You're ready to go. You're kind of pissed off at this road trip. You didn't win a single game thus far. Everybody's thinking they're going to get a win on the road trip eventually. And maybe they do. Maybe they do. But it's not going to come easy. I don't think it's going to come easy at all. I think that they are going to get everything from Minnesota, a team that they knocked out playoffs last year. I think they're going to get everything from Minnesota.
And Minnesota also got eliminated by them in the playoffs, so there's still an extra chip there.
And if Rudy Gobert doesn't play, I love it even more.
That,
but if he does play,
I think he's going to play.
I mean, if he does, I think that we still have some possibilities. Yeah, like he has a good matchup for himself, and there's a possibility that they get him out the game in the first 2 minutes. So I'm not concerned about that either, honestly. Minnesota's the play. I'm not gonna give them the money line play, but Minnesota +3, +3.5, whatever you can get, Minnesota's the play. I feel like Minnesota is definitely the play here.
I think we're on the same page because I mentioned the line itself and how it's basically daring you to take Memphis. So I feel like Minnesota would be the play.
On a short NBA slate, Memphis is -3 on a short.
The line
NBA
definitely
slate.
Suggests to take that you should, based on, you know, thinking what the oddsmakers were thinking, pricing this line. Minnesota is probably the play. I just can't do it because I think Gobert is going to be in the lineup.
Everybody, like, this is.
I'm not betting it. I'm not betting this game. I'm just saying, if you think Memphis is free money, you're out of your mind.
Yeah. In games this season where teams are on the road, two road losses, giving up 120 points, and they come back as a favorite, 1-5 yep. on the season. ATS, 1-5. All right. Yeah. I feel good about Minnesota. I think this is definitely a get right game for Minnesota. 238.5, and it is low-key, it is a game to show off Rudy Gobert. Like, that's really the big difference in this team from last year to this year. So
yeah, he's got Brandon Clark now instead of Steven Adams. That's a bit easier for Gobert on the glass.
Yeah.
And Bane might not play, and that's a big deal.
238.5. I was gonna go under, but everybody's betting the under and the total came up a point. That's enough to scare me off of it.
It makes sense. I think I have to still love the under, though. Each of the two meetings had less than 218 points. So based on the two games in the head-to-head, I have to go with the under here. Plus, Memphis had that crazy game against Golden State where you had, what was it, 80 free throws combined? Like 70-something free throws combined? It was really just disgusting. But you're looking at Minnesota, and they've allowed less than 105 in two of their last three games. I will admit it was against Houston and New Orleans, so I don't know if that means much. But defensively, they've been better lately. It's mostly just based on how the first two games of the regular season went. I think this is going to be a lower scoring game. And if Gobert is back in the lineup, we know he's a great under player because he plays somewhat good defense, but he can't score to save his life. So I'm on the under. I think this number seems a little bit high.
Nah, I'm on over.
Okay.
I'm on over. I can't. I was fully prepared to go on under, but that full point in opposite direction is kind of insane.
I don't know. These teams hate each other. Bane might not play, which means you might get more shots for Dylan Brooks. I'll take my chances on the under.
Yeah. Definitely concerned with Dylan Brooks taking 30 shots for sure.
Yep.
All right. I still like Ja this game, though.
Yeah. I think Ja's in line for a good game no matter what, but I wonder how efficient he's going to be.
I can see myself having a...
Well, you're motivated anyway to take Ja because he wasn't a starter.
Oh, yeah, 100%. 100%. So I see myself having like a Ja, Anthony Edwards kind of 30-plus points parlay. Maybe throw in Minnesota and the points in there.
Well, how high would you go for Ja? Would you go for 35? Would you go for assists? What exactly would you go for Ja?
Oh, I'm scoring all the way.
Okay. I think 35 is like +275, I think.
Yeah, I'm scoring all the way. I think that he'd definitely have a great game scoring basketball, especially like Rudy Gobert, great interior defender, all that. Ja cooks him still.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not concerned about Rudy Gobert in the paint, so. And if he's not there, then it's going to open it up even more. That's really where I just think that the offenses are going to be too good. All right. Next game of sleep. Orlando Magic traveling a long distance, but not a long distance, to Miami. Play the Miami Heat. And if you know what I'm talking about, you know what I'm talking about. -8 for the Heat at home. 219.5 is the total. Jonathan Isaac is out. And Jimmy Butler is in. Jimmy Butler, you could throw in there. I mean, I wouldn't call him a snub, but I'm sure he feels like he's a snub. Bam Adebayo probably is a snub. I wouldn't say he's a snub as he should be a starter, but he's probably not going to make the All-Star game, and he probably should.
I think he's going to make the All-Star game.
Should he got he's fifth, you know, he's fifth in player and media votes.
He's averaging 21.6 and 10.2. Like, I know
11th in fan voting. I mean, 11th in fan voting. It's like everybody listens to this podcast and then just ignored
him. He keeps selling
these
parlays and people just went against him, but he should be an all-star.
He only sells when I bet him. Like, that's what I'm saying. I've been doing everybody a favor. Actually, Bam should really break me off a little bit from this season because he's having a great year because I stopped betting him.
And he's actually played a decent amount of games while the rest of his teammates have missed a lot of games. So, yeah, he should. He's going to be an all-star, in my opinion. The stats.
Maybe this is a Bam. This might be a Bam, quote-unquote, all-star snub type of game. I don't know. Either way, the Heat are favorites. They're not getting me at that. All right, Jimmy Butler's in. Caleb Martin's probable. Max Strus is probable. Hayward Highsmith's probable. Yeah, they're just doing that to piss people off. Miami's laying 8 at home. There's no way. It's no way.
I'm taking Orlando.
There's no way I'm laying 8 in Miami home. Absolutely no way.
Miami had a nice win against Boston. Boston benched a decent amount of its players, and Miami ended up benching Jimmy Butler in response, but they came from behind and won. Played New Orleans. New Orleans.
They still didn't cover that spread, by the way. Just so you know. They did not cover that spread. That spread was -4.
I forgot what Hero went for in that game. Like 4 for 18. It was something disgusting by Hero. But New Orleans has been terrible since they can't score. That game was still close. They trailed by a bunch at half. They came back and won the game. Got killed by Dallas on the road. Killed New Orleans on the road before that, but lost to Atlanta as well. This team is still not playing good basketball. They've been better. Mm-hmm. They've won some games. They don't win by margin. And Orlando's won 3 of 4. I'm going to lean to Orlando. I think 8's way too many to lay with this Miami team. I'll go with Orlando.
Let's see here. Miami did not cover the last meeting in Miami where they were 11-point favorites. They won by 10. Orlando's won the last meeting in April of last year. I mean, it's really nothing else to say.
Yep.
And Orlando's 25-15-1 is an underdog. So. Next game on the slip. 219.5? Yeah, it's at 219.5. It's come up 2 points.
I was going to lean under, but you said it went up a couple points.
I just think Orlando's still bad defensively. Like, that doesn't change the fact. It's just that Miami's going to sell when they're a favorite at home, so they're probably going to give up a bunch of points.
The concern is Miami scored less than 101 points in each of the last 3 games.
So Orlando by 11 plus is what you're telling me.
I'm just saying, you know,
if Miami's,
you know,
if the total's at 219.5 and Miami's struggling to get to 100 and the total's going up, you're telling me that Orlando's about to run out the gym with this win.
Or Orlando's defense is that bad that trends go out the window and Miami's going to wake up. But I think this game's going to be a nail biter. I'm going to, the line movement towards the over makes me lean to the over. But I'm not sure how the points are going to get there. But I'm going to lean over anyway.
Magic team total over. Could you buy that?
Yes, that I can buy.
And we have a team total prop for the Orlando Magic at 105.5.
Just looking at Orlando's games here. They've gone over that number regularly. Now, I know Miami's still a slower-paced team, and they play decent defense. But to read off the numbers for Orlando, you said 105.5?
Yep.
Okay, so going through the last couple of games, 126, 113, 118, 123, 116, 108, 109, 111, 115, 115, 126. So they've gone over in 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. They've gone over in 11 straight games.
Magic 11 plus 13-1.
Okay.
13-1 for the Magic to win by 11 or more.
And what's Orlando 1 to 10? Was it like 5 something?
Oh shit, hold on. Coming back to it. 1 to 10 is 370.
370, okay. I'm gonna go with Orlando 1 to 10. I think this game's gonna be close, but I think they win this game by like 3. This has one possession heartbreak for Miami written all over, in my opinion.
Yeah. I'm glad we're both on the same page about that one. All right, Orlando plus 8. Orlando sprinkle on the money line plus 260. We both like that play. Scott didn't make a decision on total. I'm going over.
I'm going to lean over just based on how the lines moved. All but right. I do like Orlando team total over at 105.5.
Franz Wagner. Back on Franz Wagner. It's my guy. Okay. He scores, man. He scores. All right. Where we at? Next game on the slate, we have the Cleveland Cavaliers on a back-to-back going to play the Oklahoma City Thunder. Thunder are now -1 favorites. They opened up as Cleveland -1. It's now shifted over to Thunder -1. Looks like all the money thus far is on OKC, 72% of the bets, 90% of the money. 222.5 is the total.
I'm assuming we think Mitchell's going to sit this game.
Yeah. Sean. It's just two S's really threw me off. Sean hit me up and asked me if I thought Mitchell was gonna sit or gonna start. I said it was 50-50, but I really think that today. If he's okay. gonna sit or start today. And I was like, it's really 50-50. I think it's a good chance that he actually does play because he sat the other game. But
it didn't look great against the Knicks with that injury at the end of the game. I thought he missed a couple games.
Yeah, so he could be down for another game here, but you have Kevin Love, Ricky Rubio. Ricky Rubio's probably not going to play, but Kevin Love may or may not play. We'll see about that. For OKC, Lu Dort is out. That's pretty big. That's pretty big, actually. Lu Dort is out. That's really it. But that's pretty big still.
OKC's a favorite.
There might be technically a bunch of points in this one.
I was going to say OKC's a favorite technically, so I don't know how you want to go about this because they're not favored by enough, but it still counts.
I know. I really felt good when OKC was +1 last night, but I don't know, man. I feel like SGA dropping somewhere between 30 and 40 points makes me want to lean towards OKC because I'm fairly confident SGA is going to come in here and drop somewhere between 30 and 40 points.
I'm going to lean OKC. Do you think Garland plays? He had his birthday game yesterday. They won in blood fashion, though, so they didn't really need to play guys a bunch of minutes. But
I think Cleveland still plays their guys. It's the guys that have injuries that may end up sitting. I'm on OKC, man.
I'm going to lean OKC, too.
Maybe we're just sharps.
But, could be.
And I think that it's going to be a lot of scoring. Like, I don't know. I mean, I think it's going to be a lot of scoring in this one because if I'm just saying that I think that SGA is going to find a way around Mobley and Allen. Like, he's going to find a way around them and be able to still get to the basket. They've actually done pretty good shooting the ball on outside. I wonder what their number is shooting the ball outside recently. I feel like every time I'm watching their games, they're hitting a bunch of threes, and I'm like,
I think you can be able to tell what the totals if it's going to go over or under in the first 3 minutes of the game. Because if Shea's going to go off, he's going to need a bunch of free throws.
I would take Shea's first quarter points. Shea be dropping like 10 points in the first quarter.
I would take free throws if they offered it, but yes. He's been a good first quarter scorer.
There's some sites that might have that.
Some might. I haven't seen one of those in a while, mostly for the playoffs with free throws, but that was offshore long ago. That was back when like five dimes was legal in America, and I used to bet that in like high school and stuff. They used to have free throws in like playoff games, I still remember, but I haven't seen that prop since. So I think you'll be able to tell how that game's going to go for totals based on the first couple of minutes, because if Allen and Mobley are patrolling the paint, and you see Shea still potentially go for 30 and change, that means he's going to the line 15 times. So
I knew OKC was shooting the three well recently. They're 39%. That's pretty solid.
Yeah, that is good.
It's pretty solid. Let's see here. Cavs are always bad against the three, giving up 37%. That's like towards the bottom of the league. And that's probably, let me figure, somebody's three-point prop is going to be live. I just need to figure out who it is. It's probably like Kenrich Williams or something like that. Somebody weird is going to have a lot of threes. Let me see here.
I don't know about a lot of threes. I thought about maybe Giddy, because Giddy's been shooting the ball better lately, but I wasn't sure if the volume would be there for Giddy or not.
Man, if Giddy gives you anything, you are sitting great. They don't even have his three. You got a two is +230.
Okay.
Yo, I'm like,
I've seen him shoot it better lately.
He has. He's been really good from shooting the ball this year. At least really good compared to what he was doing last year. Let's see here. Hold on, because now I'm stuck on this. No, that's not the player I'm looking for. Let's see here. Josh Giddey, last few games. Wow, he had four in a row. Yeah, he had four games in a row.
I watched him against the Nets. He made a couple of threes in that game.
Let's see here. So he hasn't hit two since the 8th. But on the 8th, on the 6th, on the 4th, and on the 3rd, he had 2, 2, 2, and 3. So come back down to earth, still potential. And it's a really good matchup. He might, as long as he takes the volume, if he takes
I'm trying to think shots, of who else is going to get the shots, like Aaron Wiggins, because you're missing Dort. That's another couple shots that are up for grabs. Unless you want to go with one of the Jalen Williamses.
That's what I'm trying to figure out. I think it's one of the Williams. They have four players with Williams on their name. Let me see here. What's the Jalen Williams that I really like? What's his splits shooting a three? He is he's only 29%. Yeah. But he has a higher split on the road. I always thought that was weird when people are better on the road shooting the ball. All right. I don't know. Give me some time. Give me the rest of the day to figure it out. I'm getting behind somebody's threes for OKC. It's probably going to be Giddey, but I'm trying to be a little obscure and find some other value. But Trey Mann doesn't shoot the three like that, so I don't want to do him.
I am going to go with the over in this game, though. I know that Cleveland's pretty good defensively, but maybe I'm just so distracted by what happened last game from OKC. 137, 132. Like, this team has punted defense. I think I'm on the over.
Yeah, and it's a non-conference game, so it's just that the Cavaliers are just a dead under team that they don't care if it's conference or non-conference, they go under. But I think this is a good spot in a back-to-back to catch them in the over.
If Garland plays, I think Garland has a massive game.
Yeah, Garland, another guy you can have that conversation. I wouldn't say he was snubbed, but you can have that conversation that he is playing with a little bit of a chip on his shoulder today, for sure. Mm-hmm. All right, last game on the slate. We have the Toronto Raptors going to play the Golden State Warriors in a rematch of the 2019 NBA Finals.
Kawhi not in attendance completely different. For this game.
You said what?
Kawhi is not in attendance for this game.
Kawhi is not in attendance in this game. However, who will be in attendance is Delano Banton, who's questionable with a hip injury. And you have Andrew Wiggins, who's questionable with the illness. However, you will not see Andre Iguodala because he's out.
This one looks trappy, doesn't it?
I'm on Toronto.
This one looks very, very trappy. I'm happy you said it.
Yeah, I'm on Toronto.
I think I'm also taking Toronto.
I think that Warriors-Memphis game took a lot out of everybody, and this is a complete letdown spot for both teams involved.
So you kind of hit my main point as well, which is why I was leaning to Toronto. I faded the Nets yesterday. Now, it was a back-to-back with travel, but my main logic was they lost an emotional game to Philly. There was a lot on the line based on the technicals and how much they hate each other. And I thought the Nets would just no-show the game. I thought that emotionally they were spent, and they came out like an emotionally spent team, and they lost pretty comfortably to Detroit. It's not the same situation. But we know Golden State's constantly talking about Memphis because Memphis views themselves.
For somebody who keeps saying that it's not a rivalry, they definitely have Memphis' name in their mouth a lot. I'm just saying. Like everybody says it's not a rivalry, but Golden State is constantly talking about Memphis.
For the record, I don't think it is a rivalry because one team always wins, but those teams hate each other. Golden State cares the most about beating Memphis on the schedule.
It's a rivalry in the sense of it's not like Naruto and Sasuke where you have two people on equal footing that are fighting and they want to be better than the other. This is the rivalry of little brother finally trying to beat little brother the son finally trying to beat dad in one-on-one. Dad and the son been playing one-on-one all this time, and dad has never taken it easy on him. Now dad's getting a little bit older. Now dad is, you know, he still has the wisdom, and so he's able to win a few games, but he realized that his athleticism is not keeping up with his son because his son is entering his prime, and one day the son is going to beat him and never look back. And that is the issue with Memphis. They haven't gotten to the point where they can beat them and never look back.
But the point that we're trying to make here is that Golden State cares a lot about beating Memphis, whether they claim to or not. They clearly care. And they won the game. It was an emotional game. Curry got ejected because Poole took one of the dumbest shots you can possibly take in that situation. And they won the game anyway. I'm going to lean Toronto. They had a nice win against Sacramento. Toronto's a team that I've hated all year because we thought they'd be good and they haven't been good. But they're playing better lately. It's mostly the emotional angle there. I think Golden State spent a lot of it, and I think when we're talking about games that are circled on the calendar, Golden State can pretend and act cool all they want. They 100% had that game circled on their calendar for about a month.
Yeah.
Especially after the Christmas game. That was 100% circled, and they had to make sure they maintained their dominance over Memphis. I would not be surprised if Golden State came out flat.
Golden State has actually not covered their last six home games, I think this is. So, I mean, everybody, and yes, on paper, they have a really, really good home record, but they have not covered their last six. They didn't cover against Memphis and with a 3-point spread. They lost outright to Brooklyn. They lost outright to Phoenix, lost outright to Orlando, and lost outright to Detroit.
Yeah, and it was a little bit different with those games because Golden State was still missing basically all of their wings, and I'm not sure how many of the games.
Steph wasn't playing in a few games. Yeah, no.
So it's a bit different, but they haven't been as good at home as they had been in years past. By the way, Insano, to give a comparison you might feel better about, I don't think it's a rivalry for me personally, because it kind of screams to me 90s Bulls versus 90s Knicks. I'm not trying to, like, you know, poke jabs at you, but you can claim it's a rivalry, but when one team always wins, I don't think it's a rivalry. I just don't think it is. That's kind of how I look at it.
Do you think they always win? I don't think they always win. I think that this is – now, they've won the one playoff series that they played against each other. I don't think – if they were to go play another playoff series and Golden State were to win that playoff series, then I'd be like, oh, okay. But, like, I don't think it's a situation where everybody says they all – clearly, they don't always win because Memphis –
okay, so if you want to group it with another rivalry or whatever you want to call it in today's NBA, it's the Mavericks against the Suns. I think it's the exact same situation. Doesn't matter who's
starting. But the Mavericks just beat the Suns in a series.
No, that's my point. I'm saying the Mavericks in this case would be Golden State and Memphis would be the Suns. Because they just can't beat this team. Or at least they just – going into a game, you assume something's going to go wrong.
I just think that Memphis isn't getting enough credit for having one of the best records in the league. And, you know, everybody's saying that, nobody can beat the Warriors. Nobody can consistently beat the Warriors. So I don't know why everybody's – so the Warriors don't have any rivals in the NBA at all.
I think nobody can beat them consistently. Is that The main point is Memphis talks a bunch of shit and they constantly lose to the same team. That's the point. That's why I compare them to the Suns. They constantly talk trash. You know, they think that they're the best team in the league because they talk with an ego about them.
Because they have like one of the best records in the league. I would think I was one of the best in two if I had one of the best records.
I get it. But the point is they talk a lot of crap. They haven't won anything and Golden State owns them. I think it's kind of a similar comparison to Phoenix constantly trash talking. We saw Mikal Bridges trash talking Dallas yesterday, and they can't win. Luka plays 3 minutes. They still can't beat this team. I feel like it's the same situation with Memphis. That's my comparison. I'll compare Golden State and Memphis to Dallas and Phoenix. That's my comparison.
You really don't know who Naruto and Sasuke are?
I do. Insano doesn't.
come on. I felt like that was a really good comparison. You know, I came back and said dad beating the son and little brother, big brother.
I was going to segue over to another anime and just say that I think Golden State has a higher power level, but we can go that way if you want to.
Oh, my gosh. Okay.
You can do that, too, if you want. But you know.
Does DBZ even count as anime for real?
Depends on which dub you listen to, I guess. But you know. Just saying.
All right. I just want people, everybody to know that Memphis is, I was looking at this bet earlier today, trying to figure out how much I was putting on it. Memphis is like 16-1 to have the best record in the NBA by the time year's over. I feel like that's a pretty decent bet. All right.
Feels like every team in the league is so streaky. They have good weeks and bad weeks, and it just kind of alternates.
I don't think this is one-sided. 4-2 losing Ja in game 4-5, something like that.
Yeah, they also had a 50-point lead in one of those games without Ja. But
yeah, like I think this is closer than people want to admit, but it's just that they haven't won a championship. They haven't beaten them in a playoff series. So
I think the reason why you call it a rivalry, despite it being one-sided, is the fact that Golden State, despite pretending
they
not
care.
To care,
they care they as care much, so just as much. Much. Like that's so really much. What it is. I'm sorry. I know we're talking about Golden State and the Raptors, but I'm sorry. If you care, it's a rivalry, and they clearly care. Like that is somebody who is clearly bothered, and they want to make sure they beat that team.
They're like the worst about it, though, where they pretend that they're better than the rivalry or whatever, but they clearly have Memphis on their mind all the time.
Yes, and they know, like, they sit there, they know, like, hey, like, it's kind of like when Jordan was coming up, and it was still Magic and Bird and Magic versus Bird, but Jordan was coming up, and Magic and Bird are looking at each other like, he's a problem. He's a problem. Like, they are very much paying attention to Memphis. That's the only thing I'm trying to make. Like, I get you could talk about it's not a rivalry. What's a rivalry where people really don't talk about it at all? Like, matter of fact, let's go. No, I can't really say NC State and North Carolina, but just throw NC State in there, and NC State tries to have a rivalry with Duke and Carolina. Everybody knows it's Duke and Carolina than everybody else. Like, it's not like that. Like, no, they're actually really, really paying attention to the Grizzlies. Let's see.
They would care more about the Lakers and LeBron, but they suck. So they have to
Pivot so like,
to
why do you
rival.
Care?
So yeah,
yeah like yeah, but you care about the rival that actually beats you and the rival that actually makes the games competitive.
But I'm
I mean, we're able to segue for so long because we're both lock and step. We're both on Toronto in this game.
I'm gonna lean Toronto. I think emotionally, it's a very good letdown spot for Golden State.
Total sitting at. Moonoff is showing off that the Grizzlies are 15-14 against the West and 16-3 against the East.
Memphis is going to sign a petition where they can play the NBA Finals first because they would play the East team and then work backwards. So we'll see what happens, you know. But
when we get to playoff time, Moonoff's going to take Memphis in the first round against anybody they play. And he's probably going to end up taking Memphis in the second round. And then I'm going to say, oh, now you're on them? Like, now you want to talk about it? Blah, blah, blah. Yeah. Everybody stop acting like Memphis isn't good. You guys know Memphis is good. Okay, 235 is the total. It's come up a lot. It opened up at 229.5. It's now sitting at 235.
I don't know what the hell happened in that Kings game. How do you only give up 95 points to the Kings?
Under.
I'm on the under too, but how do you give up 95 points to the Kings? Like, how did that happen?
Under, it is an under game.
I'm on the under too, but
and Golden State plays better defensively at home.
I'm hoping Toronto figured something out defensively in that Sacramento game because I do not know how they only gave up 95 points. I do not know how that happened.
Because the boys is in lockstep right now. And Toronto's gonna be such a great fade next week. We just caught Toronto in a good Toronto week. They're gonna be such a good fade next week. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I'm on Toronto.
Are you on Anunoby props because he's linked to every single team at this point in the trade reports? Is he boosting his stock at all, or you don't buy into that?
I mean, I don't know. When I tried to buy into it, and he had the great matchup, he had the stats, everything to back it up, he did nothing. So
for
I don't
record,
know if I'm
I
still
love,
kind of
I
pissed
love
at that.
I love Anunoby. Under no circumstance am I trading 3 first-round picks for Anunoby. If you consider doing that, you're out of your mind. But I think he's a very good player.
I think teams don't value the draft anymore in the NBA.
It makes sense because all the guys are drafted like, are basically 18. And
but you know, teams have always said fuck them picks in the NBA. Like it's not like the NFL. Teams have always said fuck them picks in the NBA. But it's like they're fine trading one pick for a player. Like you get a. I remember we traded Marcus Morris to the Clippers for a first round pick. So teams have always said, fuck those picks. But now they're saying to the point of, here, just take multiple years picks. So when they said 3 picks for Anunoby, I was like, well, Rudy Gobert got 5. So
I personally think Gobert is such a bad deal that teams are going to ignore it. I think you got to disregard it.
But then Donovan Mitchell also still got five. Then they still get five for
it. The comparison would be like DeJounte Murray, who went for like three or four picks. I forgot what.
Yeah, see, like
that would be the comparison. But
and that's where I think it, like, Ananobi's that good of a player. Like,
no, it's the health issues for Ananobi, which I think would take off a pick or two. He has a hard time staying healthy. I think that's the problem with Ananobi for several picks.
Pascal Siakam has a day to day.
He has done well against Golden State in his career, so I think he's in a good spot here.
Is he really?
I don't know who else's day it's supposed to be. You want to back Van Vliet? Because I never trust Van Vliet.
He was just linked to some trade talks with the Lakers.
I think they should trade
conveniently while conveniently in California. So he very well could have
the Lakers link everybody because they're so desperate for actual talent on that team. they link everybody to the Lakers, but.
Let's see here. Pascal Siakam versus the Warriors game log. And we have 27-5-5, 21-6-2, 36-7-5, 25-11-3.
That doesn't include the finals either. And Siakam was really good in that series.
That does not. Yeah, that does not. That took me all the way to 2021. Let's see if I can pull up that finals game log real quick.
Just I think Siakam nostalgia. Is a very good game, though.
NBA Finals, Siakam went 26-10, 12-4, 19-6, 18-9-6. Ooh, that was a good one.
And you got to remember,
32. He had a 32-8 game
on that team.
Yeah. He had a 32-8 game. Yeah, he was definitely the third option. He was the third option. Not in that series, but like overall on the team, it was
because you knew Kawhi was the number one option.
Yeah, it was Kawhi, and then I really want to say it was Van Fleet more than Lowry at that point. And then
I think it had to have been a Lowry because Van Vliet came off the bench in that series. Van Vliet was.
But I feel like that's the series that he got that payday. Did he get paid off of that?
That was the series where he was useless.
Because he was boxing one. They was doing boxing one with Steph. They
he was doing useless. Then Steph. He had a kid, and then he shot the ball like 60% from three after he had a kid. It was that playoff run. But Van Vliet was technically a bench player at that point.
All right. Monoff said Siakam over 1.5 threes. He's hit 2 in 4 straight career games against
Monoff,
the Warriors.
Save it for the prop cast. What are you doing? You got your own podcast for that. Save it for the prop cast. Come on.
Plus 130. He's hit 3 threes in 3 straight. All right. Ananobi. It's Ananobi threes. Watch. Okay. Just watch. That's such great intel. That is such great intel by Moonoff. Moonoff is the guy. That is great intel. I'm probably going to end up playing that play. Watch Ananobi come out here thinking he's fucking Steph. All right. Did we talk about total?
Yeah, we said the under.
Okay, great.
We finished all the game breakdowns. We just have to do
lock and dog time. Yeah, I was trying to figure out what my lock was going to be.
You want me to go first? Or you want to go first?
Yeah, you go first.
Really? I was like half joking. Like I know that you are always the one who goes first. I just to tease you.
It's going
to
mess up. I'm kind of forgetting who I'm talking to, and that's why I said it. But because normally when I talk to Delonte and Moonoff, they have to go first, or we don't have a good day. But we're not going to mess up the mojo because we're doing really good with these, by the way. Like, we're doing really good with these. I don't know what we are, but it's pretty good. Okay, former lock. Milwaukee minus 3 in the first quarter.
Yeah, okay.
All right. Milwaukee minus 3 in the first quarter. Sorry, I cannot get away from that right now. We actually might have the exact entire same slate because I'm going Milwaukee and I'm going Orlando plus 260.
Okay. For my lock, I initially was not going to have Milwaukee, but I am kind of contemplating if I want to switch things up because I really do like Milwaukee first quarter. The problem is finding a plus money play for it. So, you know what? We're going to double lock the first quarter for Milwaukee. What was the best line you found? You find flat minus 3, 3.5?
Yeah, minus okay. 3.
So I'll take the 3 for the first quarter for Milwaukee. I'm going to quickly look for an alternative team total because I want that Orlando team total over. I want to see what I can get there. So we're going to overlap a lot. You have Orlando money line, but I want that team total because the lines come up on the over. Orlando's been good offensively. They've gone over this number in 11 straight, I believe I said before. And it was 105.5. So if I could find a 106.5 at even money or a 107.5, I'm definitely going to give that a look. Let me just see quickly what I can get there.
I wish I had my charger. My phone's about to die.
No.
No, because I was going to make a parlay, a crazy parlay.
How crazy are we talking about?
Orlando to win by 11 plus that 13-1 and SGA for 40.
Damn it. I'm trying to find these alt totals and one book doesn't have it that usually has it. That sucks. Okay. I'm going to pull it up, but point is Orlando.
Moldoff is giving lock and dog like we care. Do we care, Moldoff? Are you on this episode?
No, that's crazy because I don't remember asking. Do you remember asking?
Hey, I swear I didn't ask. But okay, I guess we'll give it out since he put it in the chat. And for the people that are not listening on or watching on YouTube, youtube.com/NBA Gambling Podcast. If you're not watching there, Moonoff said his lock is Milwaukee team total over 30.5. And his dog is Siakam over 1.5 threes plus 130.
Yeah. Damn, that's crazy. Anyway, for the team total over, I'm gonna go with the Orlando team total over 106.5 at even money. I finally found it. 106.5 at even money is good for me. It's mostly based on the line movement for this game. You'd assume Orlando, Miami at home, under, and yet the total's gone up 2 points. Orlando's been good offensively. I like the value there for Orlando team total over, so I'll take that.
Yeah, all right. Like it, love it. Anything else for people before we get up out of here?
No. So once again, just we're going to have the same two games. You have Milwaukee. We both have Milwaukee first
quarter. Well, all three of us went in that Milwaukee first quarter.
Yeah, we're not pivoted and went for the first quarter team total, but we all got Milwaukee first quarter. Then you have Orlando money line. I have Orlando team total over.
Yep. And Moonoff has Siakam over 1.5 threes plus 130. And I'm serious. Sprinkle a little bit on that 11 plus part. Like, I can see Miami just having a complete dud at home, not caring. And Orlando, because they don't have much to care about, has all the care in the world. All the care in the world. So,
and your motivation games today are Shai and
Shai is Ja. Number one, 100%.
Shai's over Ja, or you got Ja over Shai?
Shai over Ja for sure. Okay. Right. Yeah, I'm locked all the way in on Shai today, but Ja is a close second. And
Cameron's system play today is a Sasuke minus 1.5 against Naruto. So that's a system play.
Give me the dog.
Cameron, is that a first half play or is that a full game play? Because your system's kind of a first half.
Oh, I'll take Sasuke in the first half. Naruto sucks in the first half, but he always finishes strong.
He's surrounded by plot armor. That's pretty tough to beat, you know?
All right. If you're not subscribed to YouTube, like, comment, subscribe, do all of that. YouTube.com/sportsgamblingpodcast. Make sure you give us a review wherever you listen to your podcasting app, on Spotify, on Apple, wherever. Leave us a review. I don't have anything else to say. I don't have anything else to do. Giving you your time back. We found a way to talk for this long with five games on the slate.
We have that special ability to do that.
So. Yeah. So hope everybody enjoyed it. We are out of here.